Hello, hello. Welcome to the Clean, the Green, and the Marine podcast. It is Anthony here with my co-host.
It's me, Kira.
Was that supposed to be like a Mario impression?
No.
No, you're your own character.
Yeah.
It's me, not a Mario character, Kira.
Totally.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. How are you tonight? We hope you're good. I hope you're good.
I'm fantabulous.
Wow.
How are you?
I'm quintismal.
I have my strawberry spritzer. I made a strawberry spritzer, and you should make it too.
You can never do any activity without a strawberry spritzer.
It's a good summer drink. You just puree strawberries. You add some lemon juice, a little agave, and put it in some bubbly water.
You're good to go.
It's good.
Bam. All right. Speaking of bubbly water, we have a cool episode for everybody today. It has to do with bells. Has to do with water. It has to do with jelly. Yeah, yeah. But not peanut butter and jelly. We're talking about jellyfishes.
Jellyfish. I think they got it.
Got stung by a jellyfish. That's that Julian Smith song. Shout out to him. If anybody knows that song, it's a really good song. All right, so let's get going with jellyfish. Yeah, so I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna break this down. We got some facts lined up about jellyfishes that you may or may not have heard. One fact that did not make the cut is that there's a certain species of jellyfish that is immortal in the sense that its polyp to adult cycle actually essentially makes it immortal, because once it has reached adulthood from a polyp, it can actually revert back to a polyp. And the reason it does this is if it is in danger, if it is starving, if it doesn't get enough nutrients, instead of dying, it will actually revert to a polyp form to survive, and essentially making it immortal. I'm sure these things do die from predators and other such things, but in actuality, it is immortal if you take the perfect conditions and revert it to a polyp each time. It's insane.
What jellyfish is that?
Yes. So the jellyfish that is immortal is called Pteropsis dorni. And its real name is called the immortal jellyfish. So that's its scientific name. Scientists didn't really get any other name for it. They just thought creativity was at its peak with immortal jellyfish because it can reverse its life cycle and cheat death. Live potentially forever, as long as nothing else gets in the way of that.
That's crazy.
I'm sure there could be complications in the reversal cycle or predators and, you know, sort of things like that. But yeah, it's crazy.
That would be weird if that happened to us. If you're in danger or needed to protect ourselves, we go back to a baby.
I mean, I don't know if when you're in danger, the best solution to that is to go back to being a baby in some situations.
No, not at all.
No. But it could extend your life cycle for sure. So I'm going to talk to you about some facts here. And then Kira is going to talk to you about some facts here. We're just going to kind of go down about all the facts that we have about these jellyfish. Jellyfish. And one of the facts that is, you may or may not have already known this, but jellyfish don't have brains. They just don't. They don't got blood like we have. They don't have bones like we have. They don't pump their blood like we have. They have a very basic, and by basic I mean extremely basic, nervous system that has little nerve endings, which they call receptors, These are placed throughout the bell. These are placed throughout the tentacles. And what these receptors do is they detect light, vibrations, chemicals, and with that, they can detect they can detect various movements in the water, and they could swim to avoid predators or any number of things. And the way that it works, since they don't have a brain, they can't send signals back and forth. These signals don't, like, these receptors don't actually need a brain, because the receptors are all connected to each other in this nervous system. So imagine the jellyfish is actually the brain itself. And so the whole creature is aware of everything at the same time. Like, imagine if, like, your legs and your arms were, like, in one, I don't know. It's weird to think about. Like, I guess we are sort of are with our brain, but I can't really, like, give a good description of what it would be like to be a jellyfish. But some of their other abilities, basically, they have a sense of gravity, so they know where they're oriented in the ocean, and they can navigate in the water that way. And basically, just to throw another fact at you that goes off of that, is they can only move north or south. I don't think north and south is the best way to say that. They can only move up or down. I don't know why I said north and south in the title. They can only move up or down in the water. And so you might have seen jellyfish in the wild floating, looking like they're majestic and just floating up and down. So that's the only way they can go, is this up and down water column. And they can't go east, west, north, or south. So water currents, different sort of water systems in place in the ocean can transport jellies and push them. But other than that, they cannot go sideways. Kind of sad. They're stuck to just up and down.
Very, very interesting.
Right?
They can't really go where they want, but they can move up and down. Okay.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
And the way they move up and down is they collapse their medusa, which is the bell, and it quickly closes like an umbrella, and then up again, and then down and up, and it propels water. So you may have heard, you know, jellyfishes are 90% water. Well, this is true in the sense that they push all this water out of their medusa to float themselves up. That's why when you see a jellyfish wash up on shore, it doesn't look like what it should in the ocean, because there's no water in it. So they're not made of jelly and they're not made of water, but they do have lots of water in them. Then these creatures also go where the currents take them. So some jellies are able to actually travel around the world in what they call ballast tanks of ocean ships to invade waters of non-native species. And once the ships jettison the ballast tanks, they are set free into these unknown waters, and they are able to basically wreak havoc, essentially, on wherever they get dumped. So
why would they do that?
So this is, I'm glad you asked, Kira. I'm glad you asked. So jellyfish are entering a period of breeding blooms, where they release sperms in a massive free float colony, and their populations are just growing. This is coupled to the fact that jellyfish are currently thriving in the world today. So when jellyfish conditions are good in the right temperature, they grow extremely fast and reach high numbers. This is similar to some insects, and they can just grow exponentially. And they are part of a seasonal cycle. So when it's their season, they're coming and you can't stop them. They're just going to breed. And this is why a lot of people who are tourists don't realize, you know, it's jellyfish breeding season, and they go into beaches of Australia or other places around the world. You can't obviously know every species of jellyfish is breeding season, and then that's what happens when you get stung. So thousands of animals around the world are at risk of extinction because of human exploits and different changes in the environment, but not jellyfish. They're thriving, and they actually have been, over the past two decades, what we've seen, thriving in polluted water. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They thrive in our filth. It's crazy. And they're like one of the only species. Swarms of them, known as jellyfish blooms, have become more common worldwide, forcing beach closures, causing power outages from underwater power lines, which is bizarre to think about. And they just straight up killing... Other fish, I know.
They could take over.
In fact, I read an article, and I will try to find it to post it in the comments section of this podcast, and maybe over Instagram if I do find this article. But I was reading an article the other day which basically said that in the world's oceans in 400 years from now, jellyfish might be one of the only existing species of aquatic creature. One of the main existing because of overfishing. So in 300-400 years, if you are still alive, you will most likely only be seeing things like sharks and jellyfish, is what this article talked about, which is crazy to think about.
Well, jellyfish have to eat other things, so I don't know how it would survive. Only jellyfish, then they would have to eat each other.
They could probably eat other species. I don't know about what they eat, but...
if they're the only ones, then...
yeah.
They would have to eat each other.
I mean, I'm assuming there's going to be other fish, but they were saying, like, the majority of what will be left in the ocean will be sharks and jellyfish. So now to go back to the thing that I was talking about, which is the blooms. So jellyfish undergo massive reproductive surges in the oceans. These are called jellyfish blooms because there's just pockets of so many jellyfish, it looks like a flower field underwater, like a coral field. So they've called it blooms. And these blooms can deplete local fish supplies, ruin fishing nets, shut down nuclear power plants by clogging underwater cooling water intakes. They can clog pipe systems underwater. And they've actually been known to feed off of certain minerals that are structural integrity support underwater. So the cause of these blooms is just not understood by science. They know that they breed, but they've never seen any breed patterns. Jellyfish beforehand, like from what they've understood from research, jellyfish have reproduced in a manner on their own and just, you know, when they want in the season. But these blooms have been targeted, and these blooms have been getting increasing in number over the last 20 years. So scientists' only conclusion is that polluted waters from humans, and the more pollution and the more, like, I want to say technology that we put towards the coast of the oceans, like the coastal cities, and jellyfish like to hide under bridges and places like this, and it's just causing massive breeding blooms. So they're just thriving.
They like the pollution.
They're just thriving. They're having the best time of their lives.
Mm.
Yep.
Hmm.
Now, only to couple with that fact of they're having these massive blooms, and there's around 2,000 different types of jellyfish, give or take, and scientists say that around 3 million different species of jellyfish are yet to be discovered. 3 million of just colorful, beautiful fish in the ocean. Well, they're not fish, are they?
Nope.
No? I'm sure you can touch on that. All right, so moving on, I'm going to cover one in particular jellyfish that I thought was cool. It is the world's smallest jellyfish. It's called the creeping jellyfish, belonging to the Staurocladia family. It is the smallest species of jellyfish that we've discovered, because there's 3 million species that we have yet to discover, and it has a 0.5 millimeter bell with teensy-weeny-weensy tiny wheel tentacles that stretch out a bit further. And these jellies crawl at the base of the ocean, and you cannot see them without a hand lens or microscope. They're so small, like flea size jellyfish, extremely small. Imagine, like, just not even knowing jellyfish are just crawling along the ocean floor. Another species of jellyfish that I thought was very unique that you may not have heard of before is called the upside down jellyfish, Cassiopeia. Do you know what it does?
It goes upside down.
Yeah. So it rests its bell on the surface of the seafloor. And then it's like little stubby tentacles, which kind of look like beautiful coral stalks, face the sky or the sea bed. That's not what I'm trying to say. The surface faces of the water. Up. Yeah, it faces up the surface of the water. So it's just like an upside down swimming jellyfish. And I don't know how it doesn't hit the bottom of the ocean. I'm guessing that's apparently what it wants to do, but it basically, like, exposes its arms to the sun, and it photosynthesizes, So that's essentially how it feeds. Instead of like eating...
It doesn't eat anything?
No, it photosynthesizes.
So it's a plant.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It's like a jelly plant.
Oh.
So there's so many different kinds of jellyfish that do different things. It's wonderful and crazy. So like this jellyfish has learned to take in the sun's energy to eat instead of like eating fish.
I wish that we could do that.
Right.
But I also love food, so never mind.
Well, maybe the sun tastes good.
You don't taste it. I mean, it'd be nice if we could just get energy, but still eat.
All right. And then the last one that I had, you're going to like this one. It's really cool. We're going to have to look up a picture of this one after because it's crazy. So the last one is, it's a jellyfish that I've known about for a while. Only about 100 have ever been discovered in the entirety of knowing about this jellyfish. It's one of the biggest jellyfish in the ocean. Not the biggest, but it's one of the biggest. It's called the giant phantom jellyfish, which is the scientific name, Stygiomedusa gigantea. It was captured serenely floating with its long velvety arms trailing behind it at a depth of 3,200 feet by the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute, which is shortened to MBARI. And this jellyfish was discovered 9 times by MBARI scientists that have spotted this creature across over 1,000 submarine dives to many locations that would have had this. And so it's an extremely rare jellyfish to have spotted. Again, out of these 9 times by the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute, being 9 of 100, only 91 other spottings have been discovered of this jellyfish. And so we have very limited information about it, but it is called the giant phantom jellyfish because it looks like a sort of grim reaper underwater. And I think it's just one of the coolest jellyfish that has ever been discovered. And it's just really majestic and I really like it. And I just had to cover it because I just think it's so beautiful and so majestic. It looks like silky. It looks like it's like silk and comfortable and you just want to like lay in it.
I don't know if I want to lay in it.
No? Like, I'm going to get stung.
It looks very strange for sure.
Yeah. I just like...
soft.
I know. I just like that it's super silky.
And it like, it glows, it looks like.
Yeah, the inside of the bell. It's really cool. Yeah, there's very limited photos about it. Like, you probably will only see, like, maybe 30 photos before it starts to just be other random jellyfish on Google if you do look it up. But I urge you to look it up because it is just... that's not it. It is just wonderful. And it looks like a elegant, silky creature of the deep. And I'm definitely excited to keep looking for more on this creature as time passes, if people discover it or if, you know, they take more pictures of it or what have you. But that was all the facts that I had. So now we get to hear facts by Kira. Yay!
So do you know how old jellyfish are?
Like how long they live?
No, not how long they live, how long they've been around.
Oh.
Well, they've been around a very long time, and they're suggesting that they've even been around longer than dinosaurs. And they, like you said, they don't have bones. They don't have fossils. So it's hard to find evidence of them being around.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Would it be like an amber?
To be completely honest, I don't know exactly what they have found that has given them like the evidence. But it says they have found some sort of fossils. I don't know exactly what fossils because they don't have bones, but some sort of...
I would assume it'd
leftover
be
bits that
amber, like how some bugs get left in amber, maybe, and like slugs and stuff.
Maybe something that was preserved, but some of the oldest known jellyfish fossils have been found in Utah, dating back to when the entire U.S. West was under the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, wow.
And so they're estimating that they have been around for at least 500 million years and possibly even 700 million years. And that's roughly three times the age of the first dinosaurs. So
that's around the times that Dickinsonia was here.
Well, this jellyfish as well.
Wow.
And they're very simple creatures. And
Dickinsonia and jellyfish were friends.
They probably were friends. But yes, very old creatures that I don't believe have evolved too much, besides one that I'm going to talk about a little bit more. But they do seem like pretty simple creatures. And as we already said, they're not fish. So why are they called jellyfish? I don't know. I think sometimes we just like to call things that they're not. But they are not fish. They are invertebrates and called like cnidarians. And scientists like to call them gelatinous zooplankton. But yeah, they don't have jelly either.
Yeah.
So, but I do think jellyfish is a good name for them. If you look at them in the water, you'd be like, yeah, that's a jellyfish.
That for sure is a jellyfish.
But yeah, you already mentioned this too. They don't have scales, gills, fins. They swim by opening and closing their bells. And the bells is basically just their body. That's what the bells are. And they have the tentacles attached to their bells. Yeah, they got bells. They don't jingle.
Ah.
Yeah, not that kind of bell.
What if, like, they do and we just can't hear it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. But you also mentioned this as well. Jellyfish are 98% water.
I had the stat wrong.
Well, I don't know if they can know exactly, like...
Yeah.
Like, exactly. So sometimes these numbers, like, vary because we don't know, like, exactly accurately what it is, but it's estimated. What?
60% water?
It says the human body is composed of 60% water, and jellyfish is 98. So when they do wash ashore, they can disappear after just a few hours. Their bodies can evaporate into the air.
So you touched a little bit more.
They can literally just be like diffused by oxygen. Like they just kind of evaporate, which is so bizarre.
Yeah, they're like a little like layer of like little mucus, skin and nerves. And then they just...
Like, they're mostly poof. Like, yeah, they're nerves and water.
Yeah.
It's almost like water itself.
They're like water plants.
But it's like the water itself just wanted to like move and be something. So the water created. Wanna be something in the water.
So it got some cells and
it got
started...
some nerves and it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Majestic.
So jellyfish, they eat where they poop. They just have one tube that does both the jobs. So imagine that.
Sometimes, you know, you got to be efficient.
They're known as like being very simple, very primitive animal. And they have, they lack of the dual hole like we do. Even though our, like for humans... It's still all, like, connected. It's just, like, from different ends, really. I'm sorry if that's too much.
Hey, we're all past health
we're
class in 8th grade.
We're all scientists here. The gut opening is still being studied, but they did find in 2019, they discovered one jellyfish, which is the warty comb jellyfish, that it sprouts a new anus every time it poops.
Wow.
So.
Imagine that. Getting then, a new butt every poop.
And then I wonder, it just disappears after it's like done with the job.
Like and time then... for a new butt.
It's so bizarre, jellyfish. They're very, very strange creatures. Jellyfish can vary in size greatly. And I know you touched a little bit on like the smallest jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is practically like invisible, like to the naked eye. And that was the, was that the one you said, the Stero Claudia?
Yep. Yep, the 0.5 millimeters.
So the Stero Claudia and the Eleutheria, which have the bell discs from just 0.5 milliliters to a few milliliters in diameter, is the smallest jellyfish they have found. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's others that we like just can't see, you know? And then there's the lion's mane jellyfish. And this, from what I had read, is the largest jellyfish. Does that sound correct to you?
Yeah.
This one can extend, listen to this, its tentacles as far as 120 feet. That's crazy, right?
Wow. That's longer than a blue whale.
That's crazy. Can hug a blue whale. But the world's largest jellyfish by weight and diameter is thought to be the Titanic Nemura's jellyfish. They can have a bell diameter of 6.5 feet and weigh as much as 440 pounds.
How do they weigh 440 pounds? It must just be water weight.
Is it just water weight? Like if they come out of the water, they don't weigh that?
Maybe it's like all the nerves and everything combined is 440 pounds and tentacles and stuff.
I'm thinking it's with the water. It's with the water too. It has a lot of water in it. So if you have something 6.5 feet filled with water, I guess it would be pretty
heavy. Weight's calculated in with the water. So I'm assuming maybe theirs is too.
I'm sure it is. Not sure how they weigh that. I guess you put them in a. Never mind. All right. We can weigh them. So I wanted to talk a bit about a specific jellyfish. It's a pretty popular jellyfish, but it just had some interesting facts that I wanted to share. And you had mentioned they're estimating there's 2,000 known jellyfish, or probably a lot more. That's all we kind of estimate right now, or that we know of. But unlike most other jellyfish who float about on the currents, like you said, they can't really swim. They just kind of float. They can move up and down. But the box jellyfish, they have incredible control over their direction and speed. So they have a much more advanced swimming mechanic than most. So they're a little bit more advanced than your typical jellyfish. They're also, they also have more advanced vision than the other jellyfish. So each box jellyfish have 24 eyes.
What?
Two of which are capable of seeing color. And they are one of the few animals to have a 360-degree view of its environment. So this is very unique to the box jellyfish. And I don't know why, like, the box jellyfish got these, like, adaptations. I'm not sure.
Right.
They also have a more advanced nervous system. So they have interconnected series of sensory bulbs, suggesting a much more complex organism, but it's still not completely understood. I know the most common thing people know about the box jellyfish is how poisonous they are. So the Australian jellyfish specifically, because there's a lot of different kinds of box jellyfish, but the Australian its sting can cause cardiac arrest in 2 minutes in a human. So it's a very deadly creature. And like its name had said, this one is typically found in Australia. The box jellyfish are found all over the world. Many can give you a painful sting, but this specific one can be deadly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So the Australian box jellyfish, it has about a 3 meter long, 10 feet long tentacles covered with the millions of nematocysts.
And this is the one with it's like a little tiny box bell, and it's got the four tentacles that go back, right? Yeah, that one looks creepy.
So upon contact, the venom on their tentacles, it locks a person's heart as the venom forces it to clench. Now, cardiac arrest in 2 minutes.
That's insane.
So be careful in Australia.
Wow.
But yes, many jellyfish do sting. Most of them do. But most of them don't cause serious harm. But basically just a brush of many of the jellyfish tentacles, it triggers little tiny releases of their stingers, and they pierce the skin and release venom. So they don't even have to like stab you or bite you. Obviously they can't bite you, but they just like brush up against you. And that's how you get stung.
Yeah, it's like an automatic release of the tentacles into you.
And there's some jellyfish, like there's one called By the Wind Sailor. Yeah, that's the name of it. And the comb jellyfish, they still could sting you, but it's so mild that you will barely feel it. So those aren't really jellyfish to be concerned about. But then they do have some other ones like the Portuguese man-o-war, the lion's mane jellyfish, the mauve stinger, the blue bottle, the sea nettle, to name some, that could give you pretty painful stings, and some could still be quite dangerous. And I know everybody's heard about like peeing on the jellyfish stings.
Yeah.
But this apparently is a myth.
Really?
I don't know if there's anyone out there that has had a positive experience doing that. But apparently it's a myth, but you could use vinegar to help deactivate the stings and help prevent the release of more venom.
Maybe someone just like peed a lot of vinegar out. And that's maybe how.
There's no scientific evidence, but it did say it might take the victim's mind off the pain for a small moment. You know, because you're like, ah, there's literally someone's pee on me. That's really gross, and it distracts you from the pain.
Wouldn't that just cause an infection? Or is it like sterile?
I don't think pee would like cause an infection. I know this is really weird and off topic, but some people like drink pee for health, and I don't think this is healthy. I don't know the details on this, but it's like a thing out there.
That's really weird.
Also, there are some other remedies that supposedly people use, like ammonia. Is that how you say it?
Pneumonia?
Not pneumonia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ammonia.
Ammonia, lemon juice, and alcohol don't help prevent the release of venom or reduce the pain of a sting. But I guess vinegar is something to keep on hand at the beach.
Interesting. You kind of took me to another topic there. The Portuguese man of war that you mentioned.
I've seen them on the beach quite a bit. They look like a little bag.
Yeah, they're like little used bags.
They're blown up.
So sometimes when they're out in the middle of the ocean, they can actually increase in size and number. And they can get very big. And some Portuguese man-o-wars who are in the middle of the ocean actually form colonies. So it's not just one organism. It's a multi-collected just group of colonies that all work together to be one organism. And so like a bunch of like man-o-wars will get together, and like the cells and the nerves will like intertwine and connect to form one organism, and it'll actually like lengthen its tentacles. And it'll sit at the surface of the water. And like the bag will actually like give buoyancy.
I've seen that before.
And the tentacles will they'll work on like lengthening the tentacles as a colony, and then the longer their tentacles, the more chance they have to like sting oncoming fish and stuff. And it's bizarre that they can do that. They're one of the only jellyfish that have been known to actually like form colonies together as a species.
I think the rest of the jellyfish, they're kind of loners. They don't really work together in any way from what I've seen, correct? They like do the blooms, but I don't think they're really working together.
Yeah, like outside of breeding season, it's just like
on their own. Every jelly for themselves. So they don't have brains. They don't have hearts. I mean, like, why would... I don't even know how the Portuguese man-o-war do that when they don't have brains or anything.
Yeah, it's just something...
It's just, like, an innate...
Like, that's how those cells, the nervous system, that's how those organisms... They're single-celled organisms, so they have very base, like, functionality. Like, I guess you don't need eyesight to... Or, like, a heart to... To function. Like, we perceive reality differently than they do, but yeah, it's crazy. And another little tidbit that I found, I guess I'll close this up because we had some really interesting facts. So I guess I'll just close up with this last fact here. Jellyfish have been a delicacy, apparently, in some Asian countries like China and Mongolia. And they're actually safe to eat some jellyfish. And the way that they would prepare them is there's edible parts, which are more of a concentrated mass of the nerves.
Why would you just want to eat nerves?
Well,
it's... that's all they are.
It's like the more concentrated, like, nervous mucus part of the jellyfish. I mean, it's not mucus like how we call it, like how from our nose. Like, it's like they're like membrane, essentially. And so, like, the more concentrated parts of their, like, mucus membrane with the nerves, like, I guess the Chinese, like, cut those parts out from, like, the tentacles and make it safe to eat. And crazy fact is they've been doing this for 17,000 years.
Okay.
They've been eating jellyfish.
I'm sure, yeah.
That's bizarre to me.
Is it?
Yeah.
They had to have eaten stuff back then.
I know, but jellyfish, though? Like, why not just fish? Why'd you get something dangerous to find out how to cook 17,000 years ago?
Also, fun fact, I think it's, I don't know if it's exactly what turtle, but maybe it's like the leatherback, green leatherback sea turtle. They eat the box jellyfish.
Oh.
And they're not affected by their venom at all. Isn't that weird? So I could kill a human in 2 minutes, but for some reason, that specific turtle is no way affected by the venom.
They're so slow that they're just not affected. That's crazy. Well, we had a lot of good facts and a lot of good information. I learned some things I never knew from stuff that Kira has taught me. I hope that she learned things from me. I hope that you learned things from both of us.
I learned that jellyfish are very strange and they're so simple, but yet they're like thriving in the world. They don't have brains. They don't really think.
They've
been around for so long.
It kind of throws you off of, like, what works in the world and what doesn't, you know? Like, what... It seems like things that aren't complicated organisms are surviving and thriving better than, you know, complicated organisms that are now critically endangered. And they're just so simple.
I know they obviously feel because of their nerves, but, like, they don't, I'm assuming, think, and they don't have feelings.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think... I don't think they necessarily, like, don't have feelings, but
really?
I do think they think. Because a nervous system, isn't that what a nervous system is, but thinking?
No. Their nervous system, isn't it more just, like, they're feeling and interacting with the environment and...
But don't nerves remember?
Like,
your touch, like, your fingers, like, I mean, I don't know if it's maybe your brain that's doing the remembering or... I want to say that nerves do have some sort of, like, you know, innate knowledge. I don't know. It's really crazy to think about that these organisms, I mean, they're essentially plants that navigate the ocean waters. And they're plants that are so well developed that they can navigate gravity and temperatures.
Are they plants?
Basically, yeah. I mean, plants have nervous systems and... Kind of. I mean, they're more cells. They're more like cellular based, but just think of an underwater plant with a nervous system, I guess. And that's what jellyfish are.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I mean, they still eat and they...
Like, if you look at plants, like the Venus flytrap eats, you know, meat. It catches flies, so...
I don't know if I see it as a plant. It's just a really basic sea animal. They're beautiful, though.
It's so
basic. They're very cool.
But yet, they survive so well.
Maybe that's the golden ticket in life. Like, just be basic. Be simple. Like, live simply.
Yeah, you'll be happy.
Don't overthink it. Just live a simple life.
There you go. You gave your speech at the
night. I don't really know if that would work for us because we are very complicated.
But
live like the jellyfish.
I think that there's definitely evidence out there that shows that the simpler you live, the less stress that you have.
Well, yeah,
the less
of course.
Worries that you have. And I think the less things you have, the more simply you live, the happier you are. I mean, I guess that can't be spoken for everybody, but I think a vast majority of people, I think, you know, can take some notes out of a jellyfish's book.
Live simply.
That should be on a t-shirt with a jellyfish.
It should.
New merch idea. All right, well, we're going to be closing up here. Make sure you follow us on all the social medias, the Insta, the YouTubes, the Discords, the TikTokies, and the WikWalkies. We're out of here.
Bye-bye. Do something weird at the end.